Isaiah chapter 62, reading from verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast laboured. But they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. Now, I think that by this time we all know that Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet directing Israel in the way of the Lord and foretelling the future of what would occur for the land of Israel and the nation of the Jews. But let us be clear. Isaiah was also a gospel preacher. He was also declaring the way of salvation and life to these folks of his age and the following generations. In prophesying concerning what God would do for his people, he preached Christ. He was telling them about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his coming. In warning his age, in warning the wicked of judgment to come, he preached the Lord Jesus Christ. In comforting the Lord's remnant in their dark hours and in their times of disappointment and hopelessness, when they felt desolate, when they felt forsaken, he preached Jesus Christ. He preached Jesus Christ crucified. And in this chapter, Isaiah tells us why he did so. And this is part of the end, the objective of our study today. We are going to see what Isaiah is saying about his own role as a preacher of the gospel. And here in this chapter, we have yet another example of the gospel in Isaiah. As the prophet declares the word of the Lord and exercises himself in its ministry. Now we're going to work through a number of the verses in this chapter, but really I'm probably concentrating in the last couple of verses of the chapter, although we'll be bouncing back and forward between other passages, because really I think they build up to these last couple of verses. The last two verses also provide the structure for what I want this message to say. When the Lord Jesus gave his disciples the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that was not the first time that this concept had been shared with the Lord's people. The Lord told his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And that breadth, that broad responsibility, that great commission wasn't hidden from Isaiah. He understood it. Look at verse 11, for example. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Isaiah was telling us the role of a preacher there. And we're going back because we're going to talk about the watchman on the walls of Zion. But this is the message which Isaiah is speaking of here. And indeed, we'll see that it's speaking of him in the opening verses too, where he says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. Here is the watchman, here is the preacher, here is the one who carries the message of the Lord to the ends of the earth, declaring the burden that rests upon him. The Lord hath proclaimed that unto the end of the earth, to the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, that is, say ye to the elect of God, say ye to the people of God, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And the word behold there is used three different times in this verse alone. The purpose being to raise attention to what is said, to point out that something wonderful is before us, and to express the certainty of what is being declared. To raise attention, to point out something wonderful, and to give us a sense of its certainty. It's as if I were saying to you, hey, you need to see this. It's amazing and it's true. Because that's what the word behold means. Hey, you need to see this. It's amazing and it's true. It doesn't just mean look. It's much stronger than that. It demands special attention and with good reason. So that if the Lord says behold three times in one verse, it's a good idea to pause and look and listen and think about what the Lord is saying. The Lord is telling us that he will have his gospel preached to the ends of the earth and until the end of time. That is what this verse is saying. The Lord is telling us that the gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth, to the ends of time. And Isaiah knew it. So that when the Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, Isaiah had a grasp of that very thing in this verse. And he tells his generation and he tells the people so many years before the coming of the Messiah how these things are going to fall out. It is the message of the gospel that is to be proclaimed by prophet and preacher and pastor alike. Your salvation is coming. His reward is with him, and his work is before him. These are the three elements of the message that is to be taken to the Lord's people, taken to the remnant people. Christ is our salvation. Your salvation is coming. Christ is our salvation. And he is coming. He came once and he died once when he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He comes in saving grace each time one of his elect is converted and gathered into the church. The Lord comes to that individual and establishes and begins a personal, intimate relationship with that person in the new birth. And he is coming again. He is coming again soon to bring his little flock, those that he has gathered into the fold, home to glory. He's coming to bring his bride to the marriage feast of the Lamb. So when it says that your salvation is coming, this is a picture of the work of Christ amongst us, past, present, and future. We're also told that the preachers will preach that his reward is with him. That is the people that he has redeemed, because the people that the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed are his reward. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. This was the people that were committed to the Lord in the everlasting covenant and the people for whom he gave his life. This people, the elect of God, are his reward, and his reward is with him. So that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we see his reward in him. The people he redeemed, never to be separated, never to be lost, never to be given up or excluded from his presence, always laying upon his heart, always with him. And the other thing that the preachers of the gospel will say, the other things that the prophets of God said, that his work is before him. That is the successful work of redemption by which he achieved and accomplished every demand placed upon him in the covenant of grace. So that here in these final two verses of Isaiah 62 is the gospel in Isaiah. Christ's redemptive work is successfully accomplished, and all that remains is the gathering up of his prize, the church, and its safe passage to heaven. And that's what we see here in verse 12. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. And I'm going to take four headings from this little verse here right at the end and show you how Isaiah preached the gospel of free and sovereign grace and how he understood the accomplished work of Christ, even just from what he says in these verses. So let us begin by thinking about this little phrase, and they shall call them. Who is the they in that phrase, they shall call them? Well, I take it to be the preachers or the watchmen that are spoken of throughout this chapter. We see the watchman's burden spoken of in the opening verses 1 and 2, and also again in verses 6 and 7, and here again in verses 11 and 12. It's the watchman of whom Isaiah numbers himself as one, and of whom the Lord tells the city of Zion, the church of Jesus Christ, that he will place them upon the walls. The watchmen never hold their peace. The watchmen proclaim the message to the end of the world. So Isaiah says of himself in the opening verse, for Zion's sake. Who's Zion? Zion's the church. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Zion's sake, I can't be quiet. For Zion's sake, I've got to preach. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And he's merely echoing and re-echoing the words of every sent preacher of God, every prophet, every pastor, every watchman upon the wall has got this burden upon their heart. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Christ's preachers, God's prophets, the watchmen on the walls of Zion cannot rest, cannot be silent until the church of Jesus Christ has been called and every last one of the elect, every last one of God's sheep, his little flock, has been gathered in. And this is what Isaiah is saying here. Never hold your peace. Proclaim that message till the end of the world. And this is the church's preachers. The Lord says in verse 6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. In good times or in bad, the Lord will preserve a witness to himself, and the gospel will continue to be preached. We sometimes worry about that, mention that later maybe, but let's not get worried about the gospel. The gospel will be preached in its purity and in its glory, right until the end of time, right until the last one of the Lord's people have been gathered in. Isaiah knew it, and we know it today. Christ's preachers never stop preaching, nor shall they until the Lord returns. From the time of the apostles, the Lord has supplied a succession of preachers, each declaring to their generation the truths of God's distinguishing love, mercy, and grace. And that's the gospel of Christ's victory and Christ's rule. The Lord himself attested to this. He said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So the Lord himself knew that this gospel would go to the ends of the earth, and it would be preached to all nations until the end of time. Now let us just notice in this context, because I'm not moving on yet, I'm still thinking about the watchman. Let us just notice in this context that the gospel that these watchmen are called to preach is a declaration of truth. It's a declaration of truth. It's a declaration of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished. It isn't an offer. It isn't a proposition. Far less is it a negotiation about what we are going to give up and what we are going to do for God and what God will do for us. It is a declaration of what God has purposed and what Christ has accomplished. And the simple question is, do you believe it or not? When the statement is made, when the gospel is preached, when the declaration goes out, when the truth is lifted up, when Christ is lifted up, do you believe it or not? When you hear that gospel, do you believe it or not? If you believe it, it is because you have been chosen to believe. If you believe it, then you are a beneficiary of grace. You've been born again. You don't get born again by believing it. You believe it because you've been born again. Because it is a sovereign work of God, the Holy Spirit, who blows where he listeth. You can hear the sound of it. You don't know whether it's come from, where it's going. But it is a work of grace in the soul of a sinner to bring to life the new creation by which faith is implanted and belief flows. It's not a matter of man's will. John, the apostle, says we are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's how we're born again. And furthermore, the gospel is not for unbelievers, as many appear to think. The gospel is the whole counsel of God. It feeds, it heals, it refreshes, it encourages, it comforts, it convicts, it educates, it gladdens the Lord's people. Whether we are new converts or whether we are aged disciples, the potency of the gospel is in the fact that it feeds the souls of those who have been quickened and born again. I grant it's a double-edged sword. I grant that it will be used to condemn men and women who did not believe it in a day to come, but its power, its potency, its value is to those who are quickened and enabled to believe it. It is profitable for doctrine, says Paul to Timothy, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what the scriptures provide. That's what the whole counsel of God gives us. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ provides. The gospel tells us about election and predestination and God's eternal decrees. It tells us about God's character in his three persons. It speaks to us about his covenant will. It tells about the fall of man and about sin and about God's plan of redemption. It speaks of the union of Christ with his people, his purpose in this world and in the world to come. It is the whole counsel of God. And as watchmen on the walls of Zion and in the streets of Jerusalem, as watchmen whose vigilance protected and sustained the city, God's preachers are watchmen for the souls of the elect, and they are the constant providers of the spiritual nourishment through preaching that enables us to grow in grace and a knowledge of the truth. And thus we learn that gospel preachers are set in place by Christ to watch over his church and to preach justification and sanctification and election. These men, these watchmen, it is they who are the they of this opening section, this opening of the 12th verse. They shall call them the holy people. Who shall call them the holy people? The watchmen. The watchmen that have been put in place by the Lord Jesus Christ in order to declare these truths. What shall they call this people to whom they minister? What shall they call this people to whom they speak? They shall call them the holy people. The holy people. The holy people are all who have been chosen to salvation out of the fallen mass of humanity. The holy people are all who have been set apart in Christ in the covenant of grace and to whom the Lord has imputed righteousness, justifying them and reconciling them to himself by the work of Jesus Christ. Now, right back at the very beginning in verse 2, we're told there, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, that is, the Gentiles shall see the righteousness of the holy people, and all kings thy glory. All nations shall have the holy people amongst them, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Now maybe, because it's possible that there's a variety of callings here, there's a variety of names, but maybe the holy people is the new name that's spoken of in verse 2. Certainly it's a new experience for sinners to be made holy and to be called holy by the Lord. We are made holy in the new man, in the new creation, and we are called such because it's what we are. When the Lord sees them, sees his people sanctified and set apart in Christ. The gospel is good news because it tells of a completed work. If God leaves us anything to do for our own salvation, there's nothing good about that. Free will preaching is bad news. Works righteousness preaching is bad news. It is only good news if your preacher, if your watchman can tell you about sovereign grace and God's purpose to make his people a holy people. Here's another name that these watchmen on the walls of Zion call the people of God. They call them the redeemed of the Lord. So verse 12 again, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. They call them the redeemed of the Lord because they know that that is how God makes his people holy. They preach redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. They call God's people the holy people because they have been redeemed of the Lord. Now let us be clear. Let us be clear on this issue. The ground of our acceptance with God is nothing to do with our works and everything to do with Christ's blood. And once again, if a preacher tells you about building up your own sanctification, if a preacher tells you about living a holy life, living a godly life, they're neither watchmen for your souls nor preachers sent by God. We preach Christ crucified, and we do not and we will not preach that man by his own good works can increase his holiness or improve his sanctification. It cannot happen. All our righteousness, all our holiness flows from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work upon the cross. Preachers sent from God preach the truth because they know that that is what the souls of God's elect need. We preach atonement by the blood of a crucified Christ. Isaiah knew that the Messiah would bear the grief and carry the sorrow of those he came to redeem. He knew that the Messiah would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He knew that the chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and that by his stripes, or with his stripes, we are healed. He knew it, and like Paul, he preached it. And so do all the watchmen upon the walls of Zion. The Lord's delight is with his people, whom he has redeemed, cleansed, and fitted with a perfect righteousness. We are his Hephzibah. We are Christ's Hephzibah. Now, Hephzibah, that's the name that we're given here in verse 4. Hephzibah was Hezekiah's wife. But Isaiah uses her name as a title for the church and as a new name for Christ's bride, in whom he delights, because that's what the name means. The church is Hephzibah because Christ delights in us. He is willing, Christ is willing, to be joined in eternal union with his Hephzibah, in whom he delights and with whom it is his will to be married. What an amazing list of names and titles these are for the people of God. How wonderful this gospel is that attributes all glory to Christ for the great salvation that he has accomplished. What a thought that God delights in me and calls me his Hephzibah. Hephzibah is an old name, but if you are seeking a new name, well, Hephzibah is a good one to have. And here's another thing that these watchmen upon the walls of Zion and preachers of the gospel know. They know that Zion shall be called sought out. Once again, the redeemed of the Lord, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out. Sought out. That is a name of the Lord's people. Thou shalt be called sought out. God the Father elects. God the Son redeems. God the Holy Spirit calls and seeks out the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And to the ends of the earth, he calls them out and brings them in. Isaiah tells us of this work. He is speaking when he is telling us in verse 10 about go through the gates. This is what the watchman says. This is what the watchman cries. Go through the gates. It's a call to enter into the city of God. A call to enter into the church and kingdom of Christ by conversion. This is the means by which God the Holy Spirit takes the message of the gospel declared by the watchman and applies it effectually to the lives, to the souls of men and women whom he is pleased to regenerate, whom he is pleased to quicken, whom he is pleased to give the new birth to. To enter into the city of God, the church and kingdom of Christ by conversion. Prepare ye the way of the people. Again, is to preach the whole counsel of God so that faith can be exercised and truth received. Cast up the highway is opening the gospel to new hearers and carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth, just like a roadman would build a new highway or a new motorway to reach one end of the country to the other. When the apostles went out into all the world, when Paul undertook his missionary journeys, they were casting up highways, just like Isaiah said. Casting up highways for the gathering in of the church. They were literally trailblazing, opening routes by which inroads would be made into the kingdom of darkness, into the domains of the heathen nations, and the way of life would become accessible, and the whole world would hear the gospel preached. Gather out the stones, the preachers are told. That is, remove the obstacles of error. Remove the false teaching. Remove the heresy from the city of God. And we discover from the apostles' writings in the New Testament that errors very quickly crept into the churches. Errors of free willism, errors of self-righteousness by the works of the law. These things quickly caught hold, and the apostles had to contend with them. That was the apostles gathering out the stones. And this remains true for watchmen and preachers today. They must be ready and able to gather out stones and sieve the dross from the truth so that the Lord's church might benefit and prosper and grow in grace. They are to lift up a standard for the people. This is lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, who being evidently set forth will draw all men to him according to the effectual call of grace. Christ said in John chapter 12, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Christ was lifted up on the cross, and he must be elevated, lifted up in our preaching. Because Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And finally, again, verse 12. The watchmen, the preachers of the gospel, they will call them the holy people. They will call them the redeemed of the Lord. They will call them sought out. And they will call them a city not forsaken. Get all the doctrines of grace right here in this verse. A city not forsaken. The Lord's people shall persevere to the end. Despite the troubles and trials and disappointments they encounter in this world and in themselves, they will persevere. God does not elect. Christ does not redeem. The Holy Spirit does not seek out and save a people only for them to be ultimately lost. It is not possible. And I say it with reverence, but I say it just the same. Christ would not be worthy of his people's trust if after saving us, he was unable to keep us. We trust him because we can't trust ourselves. And we shall not be forsaken. We shall not be abandoned. And we shall not be left behind when the Lord comes to make up his jewels. Hephzibah is loved. Hephzibah is redeemed. Hephzibah is safe and secure. And Isaiah knew all this. God's watchmen on the walls of Zion know all this. And Christ's preachers know it. And, says Isaiah, they will preach it until the end time. Yes, we do become anxious, and I it would be wrong if I did not admit this personally, and I'm sure you share this anxiety. We sometimes fear for the gospel that it will be choked out by all the nonsense and foolishness that parades itself as Christianity today. Well, I speak to myself. That won't happen. God will not leave himself without a witness. And in the mold of Isaiah, the witness that God raises up will say, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." May the Lord bless these thoughts to us today. Amen.